I want to talk to Carol Marine, Sara, this morning on the NBC5 News. Very powerful. I worked with Carol Marine at NBC together during the time of 9/11 or shortly thereafter. She was at CBS News, actually, on that day. One of the few in the newsroom went to the scene as things started to unfold and dramatically was there, was able to find her way through the debris. And a couple of first responders, it seemed just the harrowing tale she tells of how they likely saved her life. She was on the set with Dan Rather hours after she had escaped the debris flow and all of the things that were happening in the chaos of that day. And she still had dust on her suit jacket as she sat there and she spoke with Dan Rather on the set. Here's a little
all
bit of that.
All of a sudden, there was a roll, an explosion, and we could see coming at us a ball of flame stories high. He and others screamed, run, and I ran. I fell. One of them picked me up. We ran as fast as we could, and then he threw me into the wall of a building and covered me. Forgive me. I am in his debt. You know, Dan, I know firefighters do incredible work all of the time, but this was exceeded anything that I can imagine. He threw me into a wall, covered me with his body. I could feel his heart banging against my back. We were both so sure we were going to die. The flame somehow stopped short of us. But whatever collapsed created, and you saw it in some of that video, Dan, a rain of cinders so thick that you couldn't see this far in front of you and you couldn't breathe. A police officer, and I wish I knew the firefighter's name, a police officer by the name of Brendan Duke grabbed my hand and he and I tried to find our way through it until we could hit a clearing in the light.
It's a day none of us will ever forget, but brings back so many painful memories. And Carol, I know for you, this is always a day that you are probably pretty thankful for your life, given what you went through on that day.
Absolutely, Anna, every day. And so tragically sad for the people who perished on this day. I mean, it really is a kind of sacred anniversary.
It is, and you know, I remember you telling that story over the years in the newsroom, and you've told it since, and every time there's such a visceral reaction, and all of us remember where we were that day, we all remember how it felt, and your story, it goes to another level because you were there on the scene as you had no idea what it was you were about to witness, what was about to unfold, and the story you tell is just such a There's a story of hope in there as well as devastation and heartbreak because you had two first responders who actually helped you that day make your way through.
Actually, more than that. There was the firefighter who saved me first, then Brendan, whose name I hate myself for not getting that name, but I didn't have the presence of mind at that moment. But I got everyone else's. Brendan Duke took my hand as we tried to make our way through unbreathable air. And then there was a paramedic team that drove by and threw me on their laps to take me further down the West Side Highway until I could hijack a city bus that had a flat tire, but the driver took me in anyway and brought me to the broadcast center. So it was a succession of people. But Brendan Duke, when NBC5 shocked me this morning by bringing him on the air. I was so unprepared, but so grateful. I mean, so grateful that he is well, so grateful that he is alive, and so grateful that he took such care of me. And it was wonderful. It was life-affirming. Marianne Ahern and I talked on the phone right after. And Marianne said, you know, in all this darkness that we experience with COVID-19, which is our current 9/11 in a different way, she said, you know, there have always been people who were there to help at 9/11 itself, during this plague that we're experiencing, that part of what we've got to do for our own mental health is remember that there are always people who hold out their hand and help you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I saw that reunion with you. It was very powerful. And in true first responder style, was wanted to know if you were well. Are you okay? This is what he said.
No, I know. And it was, I called him after the broadcast was over. I called him just to thank him again. And he said, and this is kind of the crazy power, Anna, of television. Mm-hmm. He said that day when I was sitting next to Dan Rather, and I said his name, there was a relative of his in Ireland who saw it. Don't ask me how. And the relative in Ireland called his family in New York to tell them he was not dead. Because at that moment, the family in New York knew he was down in that area, but didn't know if he had survived or been killed.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I know. It's an amazing world in both good and bad ways.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
It just takes you, it just takes you back to that time and, just the way we all felt about, you're right, people stepping up and then these horrible stories of tragedy. I saw as I was coming on air today, Carol, there was, Let's Roll was trending here in Chicago, and we know why. Todd Beamer, who made that phone call that became, so powerful. He became one of the heroes of that day when they tried to overtake that plane flying over Pennsylvania. It never made it to where it was supposed to go. They thought Washington, maybe the White House or Congress or something, the Capitol, and the untold people's lives who might have been lost there, and those incredible stories of heroics. Did you continue? I know you went on set. We just played a little clip there with Dan Rather. It seems like hours later was that. Did you continue to report throughout that day after what happened?
For that whole week. I mean, first of all, remember, there were no planes flying. Even if I was going to try to go home to Chicago, there was not going to be a way to do that. But secondly, our job then was to report that story. I went immediately into, news mode. And so I did 48 hours. We were on the nightly news, the evening news, I should say, wrong network, and worked at Ground Zero and through that week did stories on the widows and children of stockbrokers who were killed at Cantor Fitzgerald. Did the story of the priest who always rode with the firefighters, whose body was pulled from the rubble, did all kinds of stories. And New York, that night, that first night, I went back to my hotel. It was midnight, and I couldn't get into the hotel until you could show, like, three pieces of identification, mm-hmm. because everything had changed. The whole world had changed as a result of that terrorist attack.
No doubt about it. And you could say that about today, and you called this our current 9/11. Kids
yeah.
have grown up who never knew that. I'm trying to explain it to my daughter today even, and you're trying to explain what that was, but they know what this is and what this feels like. And what do you make of the situation we're in now versus then?
I mean, every time I think back to, my parents went through World War II, and it was a time of national sacrifice. 9/11 required something from us that we weren't sure how to give, but we did. This time, we'll figure it out, too. But each set of adversities that are put our way, I mean, it's the people who soldier on and continue that I think makes all the difference and will make the difference this time, too.
It's a good way to put it, and it's we have to remember the stories of hope, and also to take us through that. And that's, I think, why it was just such a wonderful moment, a touching moment, to see you reunited with that first responder this morning. Because I just thought, gosh, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's like right now in this times when so many people are also suffering and facing challenging circumstances, trying to get through things. It's the folks who are trying to help each other, to get through it. That's a big part of how we do it. It's a reminder. Carol, before I let you go, and I know it's a busy day for you, everybody's wanting to interview you today, but I'm a political junkie. I follow you and your work, and it just seems like these are strange political times that otherwise would be getting a ton more attention, still is. But we've got major ethics investigations. We've got the feds are awfully busy. And it seems like not a week goes by where we don't hear of something else happening. What do you make of all that that's going on? What should we know?
You know, that it's a really important time for you and I to be reporters. I'm grateful for this work. I'm grateful for the chance to try to gather information and give information. And there is a sort of insatiable hunger among people for that. Yes, they're divided, and yes, they view us variously, but I am privileged, and I know you feel the same way, mm-hmm. privileged to be able to do what we do in a time like this. Because I teach at DePaul University. I'm on the faculty in the journalism department there, mm-hmm. and we tell our students, you know, that this is a moment where you learn, where it hones what you do and underlines the importance of good journalism and serious reporting work. So I love the politics, and I love the ability to do this work. I'll always be thankful.
It's well put. I mean, I feel the same way, to stand in front of this microphone and the kinds of things we've been trying to do, just gathering information to try to get to listeners, get to viewers, let people know the kinds of things they need to know when it just seems to change day to day and no one's really sure about, you know, anything, especially in the beginning, when we were learning so much, you know, about this virus, about people in unemployment and all the issues that were facing folks that still are. And it just seems day to day everything changes, and we're all trying to do our best to scramble and get that information to folks. There's no doubt about it. Thank you, Carol, for your time today. And, it's good to talk with you.
It's great to talk to you, too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. Carol Marine, legendary broadcaster, NBC5. We can follow her on Twitter. She's a great follow because she's got all the scoops and that kind of thing. And I respect her so much for the work she's done over the years here in Chicago.